10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verses 35-40. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant us that we may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said to him, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "You shall indeed drink the cup that I drink, and with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it is prepared." And this truly is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, last Sunday evening, we looked at the disciples' request of Jesus that they sit one on his right hand and the other on his left when he came into his kingdom. And we saw Jesus' response, and we thought of it as an answer to unacceptable prayer. Tonight, I want us to look at the question Jesus asked and the disciples' response to it. Jesus asked, "Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism which I am to be baptized?" We sing it now and again. "Are you able," said the Master, "to be crucified with me? Yea," the sturdy dreamer answered, "to the death we follow thee." It's not a new question. Perhaps we've heard the song sung so many times that we've lost its cutting edge and we no longer see the blood of the cross and the life freely poured out. What is Jesus asking of his disciples? Surely something like this: "Can you bear to go through the terrible experience which I have to go through? Can you face being submerged in hatred and pain and death as I have to be? Can you go this route?" Halford Luckett wrote as follows. He said, "Part of the Christian saving force in the world is a Christ-like sensitiveness to human need that brings real pain into life. To expose our nerves to the hurt of others, to load their burdens upon our shoulders already laden, to let the heart be torn with anguish over suffering which we can legally claim is none of our business. That's not easy. But it's the cup which Jesus drank." I just want to repeat that. Part of the Christian saving force in the world is a Christ-like sensitiveness to human need that brings real pain into life. To expose our nerves to the hurt of others. To load their burdens upon our shoulders which are already laden. To let the heart be torn with anguish over suffering which we can legally claim is none of our business. That's not easy. But it's a cup from which Jesus drank. We see this again and again in the life of Jesus. He wept when a friend died and identified with their pain and their anguish. He wept over the evil of Jerusalem, crying out, "How often I would gather you together as a chick gathers a hen gathers her chicks on her wings, but you would not." He gave and gave of himself in healing all kinds of illnesses. He called sinners to follow him. He forgave sin and went out of his way to associate with the down and out. Jesus' total life was one of caring for others and ministering to their needs. Can you care like this? Can you drink of this cup, he said. Jesus also, and we don't usually think of this, but he submerged himself in trying to change some of the evil systems of his day. We don't think about Jesus really trying to change society, but he entered into conflict with evil and dangerous powers. As Luckock said, he was not brought to trial for sin. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. But for sin, consider the thieves in the temple, how they steal. And if you read the gospel, that's when it really, the opposition came to its peak. When Jesus went in the temple and cleansed it and said, My father said this was to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you've made it a den of thieves and robbers. Then they got serious about getting rid of it. He could have avoided making the authorities mad. He could have stayed in Nazareth in the carpenter shop. He could have lived out his life in comparative safety and comfort. He chose to take a stand to challenge the status quo, to point up evil practices, even in religious practices. But back to Jesus' question to the disciples and to us. Are you able to drink this cup? Are you able to be baptized in suffering? How quickly James and John answered, "We're able." And surely they thought they were. They really believed they were. They were confident. They were optimistic. They thought they were able and they were willing. They thought to follow him even to death. But we remember the words too soon recorded. All of his disciples forsook him and fled. We usually focus on Judas' betrayal and Peter's denial, but all of them forsook him and fled. Of this, Luckock said, there was mixed with their devotion something familiar to all of us, an optimistic view of the test they would face. It was an optimism untempered by sharp, clear-seeing knowledge of what would be involved. Right there lies one of the great differences between optimism and faith. Optimism underrates the power and the size of the enemy. Faith looks with unbandaged eyes and can do that and be undismayed because it sees beyond to the resources of God. Those disciples were ready for conflict in general. They had not thought of conflict in specific terms. When the unreckoned details came as a flood, swords and staves, arrest, the ruling powers in the nation moving to crush them, they were overwhelmed. It's always the details that test our claim that we're able. How about us? How will we answer? It's so easy to sing, "Lord, we're able." However, I'm sure that Jesus would have us to count the cost. To look beyond this moment of worship when we're surrounded with fellow believers. You know, it's easy to sing here where everybody is of a like mind and heart and spirit. He would have us to look clear-eyed at the enemy we must face tomorrow and the day after. He would have us to see that we too must take up our cross to follow him. And surely he would have us to see that we're not able within our own strength to do that. You cannot follow Christ in your own strength alone. We need each other. And I'm more thankful for the church today than I've ever been. For the strength and the support and the love that I receive from the church. But even more than that, we need the power of the Holy Spirit living within us and working His power through us. With the Holy Spirit with us, we can face the day-by-day knowing of details and demand. With Him with us, we can go on year after year fighting many of the same battles and not lose heart. With Him with us, we can face the big frontal attack when it comes. With Him with us, we can face the bothersome present, the immediate future, and the unknown tomorrow. Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. None of us can stand alone. No one is able in their own strength. We're made able by God's power, a great devotion, and a sharing in the sympathy of Christ. One final thought. The disciples wanted one to sit on the right, the other on the left of Jesus' kingdom. Jesus told the disciples, "Now you'll drink of the same cup which I'm to drink of. You'll be baptized with the same baptism. However, ultimate issues of things belong to God. To sit on my right hand and the other on my left, that's up to the Father. That's not my decision." There's nothing arbitrary about rank in the kingdom of God. Positions are not assigned through favoritism. Precedence in the realm, in that realm, as E.P. Gould said, is a question of being first, not of standing first. Not of appointment, but of achievement. We may pray for God to give us a noble character. However, this is not something that God can give arbitrarily, but it is ours to fashion as we go through the experiences of life by which Christian character is attained. We grow into it through the grace of God. On a simpler matter, I'm sure none of you ever did this, but students in school might pray for knowledge to do well on a test. But I never knew God to open anybody's head up and pour in the knowledge that they needed. It comes only as they take the way that God has provided and apply themselves and study and seek and have the disciplines to acquire the knowledge they need. So it is, many good and wonderful things can be ours only if we receive them in the way God appoints. But back to the beginning. Are you able? Are you able to drink the cup that He drank of, to be baptized with the baptism that He baptized with? Are you able? Well, surely not in your own strength. But as Paul said, when we allow it to happen, when we allow it to happen, God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not in our own strength, but through Christ who strengthens us. We become more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Are you able? We're able only as we abide in Him and allow His Spirit to abide in us. Lord Jesus, come, we pray. Come in the person and the power of Your Holy Spirit and abide in us, that we truly might be able to drink the cup that You drank, to be baptized with the baptism that You were baptized with. To truly, day by day, deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow You. In Your name we pray.